I want to follow from what we heard from last week from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we know that Corinthians is a book that was dealing with issues in the church, and also every part that we study really brings out aspects which were really a problem to the people of that church. And why we read it today, because the Bible is for us, is the only place for us to go if we are to be right with Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer. And so 1 Corinthians today, the verses that Alex read to us beautifully, they pick up from the previous verses that I brought to us last week. The gifts of the Holy Spirit that were endowed to the church, giving or distributing different ministries, which are very important for the health of the church. And so Paul goes forward and also to talk about the body, but not as he says it's his unit, but actually the focus is not here on the body as unit, but actually he is focusing on the members that make this unit, that make this part. This is what he says. He says in verse 12, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So the unity in the diversity. Yeah, so this is what he says. So it is with Christ. So he made it clear that the body of Christ is one. But being one, that doesn't mean that it's just only a one part. That means this one body is made up of many parts. That is what he's focusing on. That you and I, we are part of this body, without which this body is incomplete. That is not what God has designed. And so therefore, the health of the church depends on the health of the individuals and also the relationships that are there in the body. Because this is how they can capture the work of God. This is how we can be truly the body of Christ. And so the problem today, we are facing a lot of troubles because we have false notions of the unity that are just the unity that disregards the members. And that is the problem because I'm reading an article by Herman Bufnick, a theologian from Westminster and a Princetonian. And you can see them having a go on Roman Catholics. Well, perhaps we need to have a go on ourselves. We need to have a go on ourselves so we save each other, sir. Is that true? Yeah, we need to have a go so that we don't really give our brothers a hard time. When we don't deal with our own issues, isn't it? That is Christianity. It's simple. You see, it's so simple. So it's freeing. So this is how you can enjoy God. If your faith, if as a member of the church, you are not really realizing the depth of the love of Christ for yourself, so there is something wrong. And I know in chapter 11, I preached from these verses previously, 3 weeks now. I think God is just pressing on my heart through 1 Corinthians, that our meetings really, they don't do good to us. That is what Paul says. He said, like your meetings are not good. The people are being harmed in the meetings because there is a misconception on the roles of the members in the body. Well, Paul says this, the body is one, but actually is made up of many, many parts. And now I just don't want to go ahead because Paul is doing it. I want to do it as Paul does it, not as I do it myself. Because here he would say, like he's giving us, he's just going soft as he starts off. And then he will pick up and then he will explain. The text will explain itself. I'm not doing a lot from my end today. I'm just taking us through what has been given to us, and the Holy Spirit will apply it to our hearts so that we are sanctified, so that we are encouraged, so that we are strengthened to be solid Christian in these fallen times, so that we are able also to honor one another appropriately. This is what he says in verse 13. He said, we were all baptized. This is how we came to be part of one body, even though we are different members. This is how we came. This is what makes us one. This is what draws us together. And that is the Spirit of God himself. It's the Spirit of God convicting you and hearing this wonderful message from my brother. I hope I pronounce your name, Amisha or Danish? Danish, yeah. You know, I was overseas and in Dubai and Saudi Arabia, and when I meet Indians, and I was looking out for only people from Gujarat and Punjabis. Yeah, praise God. And I brought up Alex Christian many, many times. So this is what brought us together, to be brothers, to be members of one body. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ convicting us of our sins, drawing us closer to him, to repentance and to acknowledgement of him to be the Lord. Because earlier he says, no one can say Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. No one can crown him the Lord of his life and surrender his sin and confess them except saying Jesus Christ is Lord by the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is showing you your need, that you cannot make it yourself. You are not good in yourself. You are nothing. You are hopeless. You may look great. You may have a lot of good things. But it's not, that will not make the Holy Spirit dwells in you. It's the humility and acknowledgement that you, without your Creator, you are lost and you are facing judgment. And then as you repent, you are filled with the Holy Spirit and justified once and for all and destined for glory. And this is what makes you and I to be Christians, is the Holy Spirit. This is what Paul says. Though we are different, I don't look like you. You may not look like me. I don't act like you. Many people I know, they are always upset by my actions. See? But this is how I am. And if you think I can be really a blessing to you, because this is one of the most important points I want to push. I don't want to say on your throat. I love you so much and I just respect you as well. I just want to push down on you to say that really, even in this diversity, in your difference, in how you look and with your different gifts we talked about, you are very important to me. And actually, you as well, your spiritual victory and growth depends partly on me really contributing to your growth and the Lord. That is why if truly we are honest with ourselves, when a brother is encouraged and rejoicing, that should not be an opportunity for us to be jealous and to envy and to pull him down. But actually, that should be an opportunity for us to just be in the streams, because it's from the Holy Spirit that encourages us. I don't know how many of you are encouraged by discouraged people, but I'm encouraged by encouraged people in the Lord. It's just incredible. We can't just know God because someone is falling away from God. That is not the way. So we are brought together by the same Spirit. And if it's the same Spirit, God, the third Trinity, that brings us together like this, is his own design. It's perfect because his ways are holy. And this is how he can guarantee that he fashioned his body. This is how he does it. He doesn't do it like the world. He is different. He is unique. God is unique in his own ways. And he is unique in all the things he does. And things may look like this and this, but if he is in them, they are perfect. They are wonderful. That is why I want to encourage young people who are not married, do not just look to the outward of the people you want to marry or fall in love with, really pray deeply, fill their hearts. What is the Lord has done in their lives? Are they forgiving? Are they gentle in their heart? Are they loving? Are they not self-centered people? Because that is not how Christ would want his church. And when members, certain members, would think that they are the most important parts of the body, they miss that. And Jace brought it out clearly to us earlier. So let me just give us a few things. The reception of the Holy Spirit is the marks of our sign of Christian life. When you meet with the Christians, when you share the Holy Spirit witness to the fact that this is from the Lord himself. That is what Paul says here. It's what differentiates believers from non-believers. In fact, the Holy Spirit is what marks the beginning of Christian life. We read this in Galatians, Galatians 3, 2 to 3. What it says. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? And I think that is what the church is trying to do. We know that we have been baptized to the Lord through the Holy Spirit, and yet we want to accomplish by adopting different philosophies and worldviews and making of the church. It doesn't work like that. It's not. So also, Paul tells us that graciously the Holy Spirit is the person who makes us or makes you a child of God. And that is what we read in Romans 8:14-17. So this is how we become children of God, and we cry Abba Father. It's the Holy Spirit. And Paul now, he will just elaborate on this. So as I mentioned earlier, he went softly on touching on this. And then let us proceed to, because he's coming back to pick it up and to elaborate on it more. And this is what I want to take you through right now. He says in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. He established that, and then now he comes back to it. He said it is one, is many parts. And these parts, these are the what makes the body one. And this part, this is what to be our focus now, to see whether one part is doing its job properly, is treated properly. This part is seeing that is part of the body. And so the health of the body depends on his health or her health. And that this part, this member of this one body is considered to be really important to be part of this body. This is what he says. The body, though one, but of many. It's made up of many, many, many parts. And these many parts, He says to us in verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. Even the member has no excuse to say that is not part of the body. So this is what he's saying. So the body, the member is completely a part of the body and cannot deny the fact that his existence really is traced back to the body. He was a member of the body. So here Paul says in the first place that these members are attached to the unit. Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. Because here you see, as a hand, I can do what the body needs. Like we see, if I because he will come back to say, if one part is suffering, so the other parts will suffer. But now he's saying, we have the responsibility to belong to the rest of the parts, because we are part that makes this one body. I know it's very sophisticated argument by Paul, but you see, he's saying, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. Because I'm not that part, so I do not have any relationship with that part of the body. Because belong to a body, that means belonging to the other parts of the body. That is what Paul is saying. And so here, your attachment to the body in the light of your relationship with the other members is so important. Yourself, you need to observe that. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying you as a member, you cannot act independently on your own, not thinking about the rest of the bodies. Because even though you might not be the eye being the hand, you see, that doesn't mean that you are not part of the body. That doesn't mean that your contribution is greatly needed in the body as much as the rest of the members needs that. So, and where do we learn this from? Even Jesus himself, our Lord, he says, for our sake, he sanctified himself. He kept himself pure so that he can accomplish for us a perfect salvation. That is why a member does not have to please himself. So I don't have to do just only what I like. Because if I'm not doing what's really the part of the body of Christ, for the purpose for which he has brought it about, I'm not doing it, and then I am running the risk of really establishing a body that is not of Christ. That is the argument. So that we see ourselves appropriately. So I was going to say, the body is unit made up of many members, a call to a radical discipleship. This is a radical discipleship, because you will have a sober assessment of yourself and see yourself only as a servant of the body, a servant of other members. So your chief purpose should be to live in such a way that your fellow Christians will be encouraged when you have encounter with them. Just that. And that is why he made his body of many parts. You can't make up the body of Christ on your own. Even the local church cannot do it. We are a movement. I call the reason I'm in Clayton, actually, let me disclose this secret to you. Yeah, maybe if you didn't hear that. Because we in Clayton, we are not just like isolated from the Presbyterian church. We are a movement. And so as we function here, we have in our minds our brothers at Officer and others, so that what we do, if we do it well, also will encourage them. This, so we can act as a member, as a one member of the body, and yet we are benefiting the whole body as a member. Think about yourself in these terms. And also, friends, brothers, let us not waste time. God has more to give us. But let us put this right. Today, as part of the body, members, different, you are unique. You are so precious. You are so precious to the Lord. And that he was willing to save you personally in the light of making up his body. That he is sanctifying now, he will bring before him, before his throne, that day, finally, to God's praise. And that is what he's doing. And now also he is taking praise through this body. God, we are the witnesses of what Christ has done, bringing us together. And then Paul just went on to explain to us that there is no, he went on to talk about the eye, ears. You see, if all that you have is ear, so you will be mad of the thing that only you hear. You see, and you will have no the privilege of seeing beautiful things, even the flowers we talked about earlier. You will not have the privilege of just exercising and keeping the blood running. You will have no the blessing and the benefit of what? A lot of things, blood pumping and all the organs, the body working together, making the whole body. It's just exactly the same. So in the body, if you are not functioning the way that you should function, I am in trouble. You see? So you will have the burden. And let me tell you this, even in the body of Christ, some people are bearing burdens. Some people are bearing burdens and they are weeping day and night because the body is not standing for what it was meant to be. It's not holy. It's not humble. Everybody is pleasing himself. Is doing what is pleasing in his own sight. It's not for the glory of Christ. And we compete. We compete so much. Well, if you compete and you take the goal, I am rejoicing. If I'm a member who has his mind on Christ, even if you are doing great, so that is for me. That is for me. Because it is through the grace of God, it is through the blessing of the Lord. And as I mentioned earlier, that all that I have is from outside, is the contribution of other people, is the praise of people. When I was away, the praise of the people, the love of the people, the calls of the people, the texts of the people, and everything. So the members, the parts. And so then what am I doing? What are you doing? How is your attitude? Are you saying to the eye that you have to bear the burden on your own? If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, should the foot do everything? I do not belong to the body. It would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. In fact, thinking like that, that will not really wipe out the obligation that you have as a part of the body. So you may do it like this, but actually you will give an account on that day that you just overlooked this reality, and that was real, because we look for spectacular things, isn't it? And we lose sight of these small things that is so fundamental for us to reach that great place. Even the praise, well done, faithful servant. You were faithful in the little. See, you didn't please yourself. You took the last row, the last praise. And oh, how many times have you felt like being just really ostracized and pushed back and insignificant? How many times have you felt that way? If you haven't felt that way, I must tell you, my friends, you are lost. You haven't just come to the real sanctification, to the real work of God in making you truly a member of his body. You need to do that. You need to feel sometimes that really you don't have to be praised by the people. You see? Because whether they praise you or they don't praise you, the Bible says you are a part of the body. And the body is the body of Christ, isn't it? Here, you need to be clear about this. And you need to be strong about this so that you are not pushed there and here and find that you're worth in the eyes of the people. You have a master who sees you so precious, and he was willing to come from heavens to the grave and to die on the cross of Calvary and to rise again for you and for me, to make you a beautiful human being that God has created in the first place, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to be given the scriptures and to sing them and to read them and to be a blessing to others. So being a foot and not an eye, that is not an excuse for you to think independently. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And now, what is Paul trying to do? Having established that we have no excuse to disregard the members that make up the body. Now he wants to tell us that, and as he was telling the Corinthians, as he was concerned, because they were trying to achieve the unity at the expense of the members, because they were weak members. They were people who didn't have more money. They were people, because as they were coming into the Lord's Supper, we know that this is an argument that was running from chapter 11 or even earlier. Here, so as they were coming to the Lord's Supper, Some would sit in the wings that are just furnished with beautiful furnitures, and they were just like having like special drinks, and they were having great time. And others were just languishing over there, and yet they say like there was a one body that was coming to celebrate and remember the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul says that was not true. That was not right. So that is what he was following. And also people are elevating certain gifts and certain things. That is, oh, no. You say, so that's just all the charisma. These are all from God. And every service is from God. And now he's saying the same thing. You see? Now his concern is that they put this right. What is he saying now? As he's applying this to us. And verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And now he starts to tell us, like, this is very important. You need to know this. This is the benefit. This is the blessings of being diverse in the unity, though united, though a unit. If this is what he's just telling them, he says to them, if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of a smell be? So he's saying these parts are very important. And you know the smell, as I said, and the seeing. They save us from troubles and the problems. You see, so the functions of these parts, because as we function differently, we help each other. So this is what he's saying. So, and also, by the same argument, the body is made up of many parts. That's it. You see, it's not a body. If it has no parts, it will be a part. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of a smell be? And now I want to jump verse 18 because I want to come back to it. To verse 19. If they were all one part, where would the body be? So the members are not the body in themselves. But as they are united, they make up a body. So that is what he's trying to tell us in verse 17 and verse 19. And now he made this declaration in verse 18. What is he saying in verse 18? Paul says, but in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. It's God who wanted them to be. So he designed them in this way. He endowed them different gifts in this way so that they make up this body. So the point is not that some members are more important than others. The point is the need for all members. Otherwise, some function of the body would be missing. And as he sums it up, he says, this is God's own design. This is God's own masterpiece. This is God's masterwork. He does this as it pleases him. And you should be pleased that you are a member of his body, giving you all this grace to be part of many people whom he has gathered. And so you need to be to have that attitude and to be a universal Christian as well. Now, what does it mean to be a universal Christian? It's wherever you go and there is a body of Christ, you belong. You belong to the body. And that should be, if I know and what I have this privilege that you, some of you might not have. And let me tell you frankly, being a refugee, really leaving your birthplace and living in Egypt a long time and living in Australia a long time, you lose sense of really making this world something important. Because some people have a strong attitude towards nationalism. Their countries, they just really praise their countries. It's not bad, you see. And how do you know that God will not look after you when you go to another country? We have many Europeans, people were buried in Africa. They call it a home. So a home is a place where God really planted you, because the whole world is God, isn't it? If Christians are free from that attitude, then we have the privilege to work wherever he has placed us for the blessing of the people. It's biblical. So let us have a mindset that really reflects the purposes of God for which he has created us. And there, as a church, we will be able to be the light and the salt in this world. I feel like I'm just telling, I feel like I'm preaching my valedictory address to you. I love you so much and I want to stick to you as much as I can. But actually, this, because I will be free from the blood of you all when I leave this place, that I have not disclosed to you every secret of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Because I love you so much and I just cherish this opportunity to be part of this wonderful body of Christ here in Clayton that has given me everything that the Lord wanted me to have and equipped me for the journey that lies ahead. And my praise also is that I impart to you this thing so that you will be a blessing, so will be a strong in this nation and to be the people God will look on or upon as his own. And he will use you mightily and powerfully. He makes a different points in verse, and I want to finish with this. I don't want to drag it on. Verse 21. He says this. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. That even you don't have even the right to despise the other member. You don't have the right. The eye cannot say to it, cannot, not just choose to, but cannot. By the decree of God, you cannot. It is impossible for you to do that. It's an area where you cannot touch. It's an area, it's a no-go zone. That I don't need you. The rejections. How many believers have felt rejected within the bodies they belong to? How many? Many. Many went away wounded, struggling, just because the other members, they were not sensitive enough to the need to have the proper understanding of their scriptures. I do not. And then he said, and he and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Even he didn't say that are weak. He said that seems that by your imagination, you see, the scripture is so accurate. By your imagination, there is no place for opinion and imagination. Everything is just stated before us by his grace. And the parts that we think are less, even we think, not what God thinks. By his own design. No. And the part that we think are less honorable. In fact, in God's own design, they might be the very part that we need very much. Even your children in the house, you need them so much. They come and they sit and they say things that are just designed by God for you to hear at that particular moment. And Paul went on to say, and the part that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacks it. So we complete each other as members. Because the feet may run so fast, the hands may do amazing things, but you still need the nose to smell. And if it's painful, the body suffers. And so this is what God has done. He combined them so that we get the benefit of being a part of his body. Because he is going to use all these parts as he was going to use all the gifts that he has endowed the church with. So there is a need here for us to have this. And even the sufferings, I won't want to go to that, but I want to finish with this verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, as a sum up, now in the diversity of the members that make up a unified body, you are truly the body of Christ. Is that what you are today? Is that what you are? Is that what you are going to do today? You see? Even where I was traveling, I was mindful of a Christian, being a Christian witness. And wherever I went, I was trying to make room always that there might be a Christian who might be watching me on what I was doing. That was the thing I was praying for and hoping for and desiring. And God really met me in that. So today, as we go out from this place, I just didn't want to demolish the fact that you are very important, that you are not precious. Perhaps I want to demolish in your mind the attitude or any inclination that you might think you can do it without the other members. This is one thing I want to leave with you. The second thing I want to leave with you also is, as you go out, do your best as a believer, knowing that all that you do there will affect the whole body, and that if you give a good witness, testimony of Christ in all that he has done for us here, and then you are really a true member of the body of Christ. And so that is what Christ is saying. Saying like, let every member know that they really were designed to make up this body that calls the body of Christ. And let us not have a false notion of unity. Unity is good, but unity at the expense of the truth of God is not a unity and will not help us, will harm us, and will make our fellowship not as sweet, but that the sweetest fellowship is when every member is doing his own small thing, celebrating the fact that they are that part, they are ear, that they are feet. That was what really Job said. He said he was feet to the lame because he was going out for them. And I was a feet to the lame and an eye to the blind. Be an eye to the blind and be a feet to the lame. And there you will make up the body of Christ. Let us pray.